There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
That little quote from John Daly did remind me, Jordan, of the podcast where you talked over John Daly during that section. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
So we're going to open it up this way. Listeners, loyal fans, and subscribers, we are going to be doing an episode here in the next couple weeks with our worst takes of 2023, and we actually want to engage the audience on this one. So please, please, please text us, message us on Instagram, let us know. We'll do a post, maybe. We'll do a post.
Yeah, we could do a post.
Yeah, let us know.
What are the dumbest things that we've said all year?
We want to highlight all the dumb things.
I can think of five I said.
So yes, I can think of five you said too.
It'll just be the dumb things I say all year.
Welcome to the podcast tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get in, I do want to say this episode is sponsored by Swanee's Golf. Swanee's Golf Apparel is just an amazing, amazing company. Right now, I am wearing one of their quilted sweatshirts. And let me tell you, this is a hell of a piece of fabric. Okay. Very comfortable. I've also got a matching Swanee's snapback hat on. I'm going with the Tanimal look tonight, all tan, head to toe.
I like it.
Yeah, it's very desert. You know, our friends at Swanee's, they're generous enough to sponsor the podcast. Please feel free to do some shopping at Swanee's as we approach the holiday season here. Thanksgiving. Does anybody do gifts on Thanksgiving? I don't.
Yeah, we have a code.
You could do gifts on Thanksgiving. We have a code.
Yeah, the code's member guest 30.
Member guest 30 is the code. Hop on Swanee's Golf right now. Try their product.
I like that hat.
You know, try the product.
I like have
hat.
We made That's it? Cool. That's a legitimate question.
We've kind of made it. Yeah, we've kind of made it. The podcast, we're has it grown? Not really.
No.
Are we sponsored? We yeah. are.
Yes.
Yeah. So not a big deal, but listen, we're grateful, you know, live, laugh, love. That's what we do here at the Member Guest Podcast. And we want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Swanee's Golf for
hooking us up
with great apparel. Tonight's episode, ladies and gentlemen, James Rue in the studio. Welcome,
hey,
Mr. Rue.
Hey. Hi.
Yeah. Glad to have you here. Hello. Yeah, he's got a nice mocktail in his hands.
He's got some new Bettinardi head covers.
New Bettinardi head covers. Just a lovely RLX powder blue quarter zip on tonight.
Thank you. Jamie. Ooh, from Winsong, too.
And Jamie's going to be leading the charge tonight, so I yield the floor.
I'm glad to be back.
Glad to have you back.
Ryan Eshelman.
Third time?
Well, yeah, what's that?
I just recall Ryan Eshelman.
You recognize the hat. So yeah. Shout out to Ryan Eshelman right here, Auburn, SEC. I earned this hat. He sent me a text. We were talking this weekend and we were talking about different stuff. And the text thread went something like this. Has anybody had a worse read than you gave me on three when you caddied for me in the transmiss?
Oh.
And I tried to talk him into this read. So the pin was back left. And I'm like, Rye, it may look like it's going to go left, but trust me, this stays right. And I have no idea what I was thinking. And of course, it went so hard left. He made thankfully made an uphill 15-footer off the fringe. But he goes, that ball is still rolling towards Iowa, Jamie. That's what he told me during the text
exchange.
That's
a good line.
Yeah.
Funny kid.
They're on break right now. There's a little rest. And I think the tournaments start. Shout out to Herm Secney too. He's lighting it up.
Who's that?
Herm is, I guess he's the number one player at Purdue, but he's 21st on the, what are the Kager ratings? Wager ratings.
Oh, Wager.
And just a tall drink of water Norwegian that can absolutely shit bomb it.
Mm.
He's awesome.
Sick. Love that.
But we were talking.
Sounds like a guy I want to be like.
He's the one that has the 281 number into 12 at, or into 15.
Are you sure that was 281?
Exactly. That's right. Him. That's him. Yeah. That's him. Shout out to
when
JJ.
He airmailed the green, you mean?
Yeah, he hit it like 326. Turned to JJ. He's like, are you sure that was 281?
That's awesome.
But we were talking, I wanted to contribute, and we were talking about, what should we talk about? like clubs that are fun to hang if golf wasn't part of the picture. And I was talking to my friend Carlos Matsuyama, and he's like, that's like going to a strip club. Well, that's a bad analogy. Let's do a different one. He was talking about like, how about clubs where they have like really cool features that maybe make it stand out. I'm like, that's a way better idea. Mm-hmm. So we started to list them off. So if you like, you guys be open to talk about that. I think that'd be a cool thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Like country clubs or golf clubs, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I mean, there's so many different things you can think about. And I like little tiny parts, but ultimately it's places you go where they demonstrate, they absolutely get it. And that's mm-hmm. like, that's what gets me going. So you got, I have some ideas. I'd love to hear what you guys would like to talk about.
Let's jump in, man. I mean, my brain is already swirling.
Before we start too, I have to tell you, I had a dream that we were at St. Andrews last night.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Man, well, that's not a bad one.
That's a great dream, actually.
You know how dreams are. You don't really remember like all the details, but mm-hmm. I can tell you, you were in the dream. I was in my own dream and we were at St. Andrews.
Dude, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Carlos did mention something about St. Andrews. I was there, but I didn't go. Is there some like there's a cool aspect that he said, talked about at St. Andrews?
Well, I mean, the thing at St. Andrews that was like life altering for me was, so when I went, I stayed at I think it's the St. Andrews Hotel, which is the one that you hit over on 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a tee time at St. Andrews, we've talked about this on the pod, they have something called the singles queue, which is like the coolest thing ever. So you get up, I got up at 3:30 in the morning, had a cup of coffee, walked downstairs, opened the doors, and stepped out in the darkness. You can hear the ocean. You can hear, you know, the birds, whatever, the wind.
The swans.
And you walk on the road. Like you walk from the hotel on the road, on the road hole. You literally walk, like, it's kind of crazy because when you're walking on the road hole, 17, the green is like here to Tony, you know, it's like 3 a.m. and it's like 3 feet away from off the green, and you walk right by it. And then you walk up and you snake up around the 18th green and you go left, and there's the city of St. Andrews, and the city's lit up. Right. And then you walk over across the 18th green, across the putting green to the shack. Okay. The starter shack. And it's literally like a little shack. And I was the only person there, and there's a little bench on the shack. And you sit on the bench on the shack and you wait. You just sit there and you wait.
And there's a guy with a car
and then he pulls into the parking lot and his lights are on and he's right there and he comes and he unlocks the shop and he gets there right at sunrise. So you're sitting there and if you're the first one there, a line starts to form. And I was the first one there. So there's other people and you meet other people from all over the world that are there to play St. Andrews. And there's this line is long. It's 20 people, 30 people. And the sun starts coming up. And as the sun comes up, it illuminates the ocean. You can see the first hole. You can see the city of St. Andrews in the backdrop. It's like, I want to cry talking about it. And then the man opens and you walk in and he has a couple tee times and you can take one of them.
So that is pretty sick.
Yeah. That's a solo hang. You know what I mean? People do it with a group of people. Like they'll camp out there for the night or whatever. But for me, man, it was like taking ayahuasca. You know what I mean? It was a journey of the soul.
I mean, there is definitely stories of people where they'll show up. There's like a group of people and they'll have a tee time somewhere else. And they're like, screw that. I'm going to wait in the queue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Scotland's got certainly some great ones. I mean, I would say one hang over there that we touched on too is the lunch at Muirfield. So at Muirfield, you go out in the morning and you play, and then they do a lunch and you go in the locker room and you literally shower everybody showers in the locker room and you put on a coat and tie that you have to bring. A coat and tie.
That is pretty cool.
You need to like shine loafers, slacks, and you walk into this like large dining hall and it's family style seating and you sit down and you have lunch with everybody that played that morning.
And it's also the coolest thing ever. Remind me, but I believe that, is it Muirfield where they play four ball in the morning and then they play alt shot in the afternoon?
So once you're done with lunch, you go and you change into your second golf outfit and you go back out and you play alternate shot.
That's me.
Yeah.
Like I definitely want a second golf outfit. Yeah. That's pretty nails.
Yeah. So I know that's pretty cool.
Well, I know we're trying to talk about things other than golf that make clubs cool. But the one that stood out to me this year when I went and played Laurel Valley, I think I talked about this, but the weekends are only for members, but during the weekday, they only have two rounds a day, but it's a shotgun. So everyone goes out at the same time in the morning, and everybody goes into the clubhouse and eats, kind of similar to what you were saying at Muirfield.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody is in the clubhouse, like all, you know, every single group that was out there, and you all eat together, and then you go back out for the second round.
Cool.
Kind of same thing. So it's pretty cool. And then all the members that are in there are wearing pink jackets. So you know who's the members.
That's pretty cool.
So, that's pretty sweet that everybody's in there at the same time.
Anything that has tradition, it just seems like tradition is so hard to come by. And I don't, the examples that, you know, we're all going to give are not clubs trying to outdo one another. Like they just have a uniqueness in their, you know, not even overstated about it. Stuff that's, you know, a hang or a fire pit or a shack, all that stuff is so special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if other clubs try to emulate that stuff or not, but when you see these things, it seems like they're mostly pretty unique. Like Blue Jack, you've played there, Tony.
I have played there.
There's the shack that you drive through as you're going to the first tee. Jordan mentioned, I think, where they announce you in the first tee, which I think is always feels really good.
Next on the tee, James Rue playing out of Windsong Farm Independence.
So cool.
Minnesota.
Kind of cool.
But one of the things I really love, and one of the things I really love is when you get to 12. And I think it's kind of like making the turn after 12 at Butler, where at Butler, for instance, you stop and you get, if Jose, God rest his soul, who passed away, it was there, he was making tacos. And like you sit down and have tacos.
Oh, if somebody wants I didn't know he passed away.
Yeah, it's terrible. If somebody wants to, I think they're going to actually commemorate him at the shack, which should be fantastic.
Sure. They should.
But you have a taco. And if like other guys are hustling and hurrying, like, why would you, go on through. And I think that's really special. And similarly at Blue Jack, you walk up and there's an outdoor bar on the left. And then there's the barbecue shack on the right. And there's a big fire pit right there. And 12 is the one that is like Augusta 12. It's a par 3. But you just take your time. And like people just understand like that's part of the deal. Like everybody's so like revving to go. And I hate that.
So in this shack, they literally have this guy who literally is just like a barbecue guy. And he's just like making beef jerky and he's making brisket. And he's like, yeah, you want a piece of brisket?
Which is exactly the way to do it. Not like it's not formal. Like you want to try this, you want to try this, you want to try this.
Yeah.
And then you can get like a jackhammer over the outdoor bar where you sit down, which I'm really hoping ends up turning out to like our little new shack at the new Windsong.
Yeah.
There's
a new hang there.
A lot of talk about that. And I think what Dave just went to Sandhills.
He did.
Okay. So like, I think one of the cooler things about Sandhills is the starter shack. It also has the wraparound porch. And I wish I knew the gentleman's name because he should be recognized. And it's actually the job that I won at the new course at the Windsong is I want to wear that big cowboy hat. And I want to be just sitting there making hamburgers.
Mm. Grilling burgers.
Oh yeah.
Sick.
And like, if you ever go to Sandhills.
I can loan you my Ram if you want to drive it down there.
You know what would be cooler is if every member had to pick a day that they did the burgers.
Actually, that would be really cool.
It'd be so fun.
That would be actually really cool.
Because how many days are in a golf, let's say like the heart of the golf season would be May, June, July, August, like 5 months, right? Ish. So that's 30. So 150. So 150 members have to fill up and sign up. It'd actually be less than that because no Mondays. You got to sign up and you're on burger duty for a certain day.
He's just sitting there and you get chicken or you get a hamburger and it's just cool.
Maybe a dog.
Which is also should be recognized. The thing that does not eclipse that is in the middle of the night, apparently that's the lowest ambient light part of the country. So in the middle of the night, you go back out with a speaker and you lay on the putting green and you look up at the stars and that is unbeatable.
Where at?
At Sandhills.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Unbeatable.
I got a shout out. You know, one of the things too, that sort of makes a hang is like Sandhills is, I haven't been, but you're in Nebraska. Right. And so it's like the stars. And then I've also heard the steaks and the burgers and the meat is, you know what I mean? So growing up in DC at Washington Golf, that's a unique hang in the sense of like at Washington Golf, the clubhouse is built on a hill, right? It's this big white sprawling kind of thing. And there's tons of rooms in it and everything. And and it overlooks the golf course, which is down. And then you can see DC in the backdrop. So if you're sitting out on the veranda having an Arnold Palmer or whatever you want to drink, you can see everybody coming up to 18 up the hill, which is a really fun shot to watch because everything spins back off the green and it's a very hard, you know, if they put the whole location back right, it's crazy. And then you can see guys teeing off on one to your left, which is a drivable par four. So you get this like really cool, and then you can go in and they have a men's grill and, you know, it's sort of this old, like turn of the century, Washington, DC, Arlington, Virginia establishment, and everything is like rich mahogany and, you know, leather bound chairs. And there's a man named Wayne that works and others that work. There's a whole family that works there. That's worked there for a very long time, like 50 years. And they all know your name and they've known me since I was a little boy. And, you can order lunch in the men's grill and you can walk, you know, back into the locker room and get your hair cut in the barber shop in the back of the locker room. They have a barber shop and a full-time barber there. And then you can meander on over to the cigar room, right? And in the cigar room on a Saturday, there's, you know, college football on or the games on, and you can sit there and smoke a cigar in the cigar room. It's pretty cool. And there's like Supreme Court justices. You know, it's like a very sort of establishment. Like
I would just want to sit there and watch a game some afternoon, not even play golf.
And it's cool for me because it's like I always see like my uncles or, you know, people I knew or, you know, so maybe it's special in that regard, you know. But that is just a very cool hang. And some one I'll never forget. And the other one I was thinking of too, Kinloch in Richmond. There's a little turn house there and they make these grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And it's like, you have to have the grilled PB&J. It's like the best thing ever. And at Kinloch, they have a 19th hole as well. So the 19th hole is fun because the green sits right below the clubhouse. And so you can chip down to the green and play little gambling games and stuff like that. But those are a couple that came off the top of my head beyond Oakmont, which we'll get into later.
I think sometimes you can find places where you can create your own rules and do your own stuff like that is really cool. You talked about, what was the one that had the 61-yard hole? Or Timmy was talking about that. The Floridian, where there's a thing and you're chipping down, not trying to hit the boats. I can't talk about courses that I haven't been to, but stuff like where you just make your own deal up is so cool. Blue Jack kind of does that at their par three. Or if you go to the Butler or the Windsong and you do like your own cross-country stuff, that's really fun. No, that's not a feature set of a course per se, but where the culture allows for that,
right?
That's the kind of stuff I really care about.
Yeah, Washington Golf almost feels like you're on an embassy. It feels like when you step on property, there's different rules. It's a different place. You know, it's sort of, you're not in sort of society anymore, you know, and that's a very unique feel, you know, for better or worse, right? I don't mean to sound sort of pretentious. It's not a pretentious feel, but that's kind of what it feels like, you know? But I mean, look, Oakmont too. And I know Jamie, you've got a list. I want to get into your list, but Oakmont is, there's a putting green. That's the ninth green and they light it up at night and you can go out there and putt as long as you want, on the ninth green. You hit putts off the stairs of the clubhouse and you bounce them off the stairs. You hit 100-yard putts, you know, it's 100-yard green or whatever. And then at Oakmont, they have something called the SWAT room, which is apparently legend has it, it's a separate membership at the club that, you can become a SWAT member and they have a game every Friday and there's an A, a B, a C, and a D player in the game. And you take one best ball of the four gross and you have to putt everything out. There's no gimmies and it's a 10, 10, 10. You play everybody who's in the game and then they have their own room in the locker room called the SWAT room.
That's pretty sweet.
And it's double doors and it's a big table. And in the room, there's a fireplace and there's a big cupboard. And in the cupboard, there's a record of every game that's ever been played. That's the SWAT game. So you can look in that and you can go like 1956, Arnold Palmer played in the SWAT game and shot.
Whatever he shot.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
It's pretty cool.
That's really cool. Yeah. That is really sweet. That might be the coolest thing I've ever heard. Not just like golf or like just ever.
I don't think it's too late. You know, as we talk about these things, I don't think it's too late to start traditions either. You have to have the guts to do it or whatever you may say, but I just think you can take these ideas and make them your own. I mean, I think that we did that with a match bag at Windsong. Maybe didn't take it from the SWAT room, but that idea is so cool where you record all the matches to gain the bag. But I think these traditions, these mini traditions can be found like the 20 club. I think is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm glad we're going down the road of like these little, and this might be a little too ADD, and hopefully it works out for the podcast, but there's so many cool features at like at Fisher's. They do the, I never had the peanut butter and jelly with bacon. And there's a little tiny house. Ooh. And you get it after one of the holes and it's just, it's so cool. Or like at a Hoopy, which I think might be Whisper Rock as far as hang goes is probably the best.
The best.
Z, when Z ran in the locker room, was unbeatable. And it was just, he controlled all of the animals and what you would do. And you, of course you get a malt. Of course the food's incredible. But like one of the really fun times I had there, it was like a football Sunday and we went outside to the fireplace and sat outside and just drank out of those big frosty Whisper Rock mugs and watched football over the fireplace. You just felt like a king because no one was there to mess with you.
You know what my favorite thing about that place too is probably that nobody's above anybody.
You know how important that is to me.
Yeah. And you know, like you treat a server the wrong way there as a member, it doesn't matter who you are. If you treat somebody poorly enough, you might get kicked out of the club.
I love that.
So my dad, at watching golf, someone, I probably shouldn't even tell this story, but someone said waiter to Wayne. He said, waiter. My dad just lost it on the guy. He's like, don't ever call him that again. He's been here for 50 years. You treat that man with respect.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Your dad needs to be on this.
I think we should come up with our own, like, one idea would be, like, worst scorer, like, loses, like, a hand. You know? Like, you just take it, like, chop it off.
Like, right there? Like, who's right going to do the chopping? Probably Ricky.
Probably Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky does the chopping.
Like, his laser beam eyes, probably.
Yeah. Like, a finger or something. You know, something that's not, like, life-altering.
Can we just take a fingernail?
No. You got to shave your eyebrow.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because, like, I'll grow back.
Worst score, you got to do a TikTok dance.
Ooh.
Like, one of those trending ones.
Yeah.
And you got to memorize it and, like, do it fully choreographed and perfect and perfect it.
Wait, where was the club, JV, that you said... every year the shop gets to kick out a member that they don't like, or is that,
well, we were talking about doing that at Windsong.
I think you and I have maybe talked about this too, but like at Windsong, for example, you know, a lot of the staff parks in a little bit different area of the parking lot. Like I truthfully think there should be, a parking spot where it's like staff votes on who the best member is. And they get a good spot. And then I also think vice versa, the membership votes on who the best staff member is. And then they get the parking
which
spot.
Which is for your episode of like the 11 worst things. That's when Jordan said that's when you get to fire the one staff member.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's good call. Good flash.
That's what we're talking about.
I mean,
but Tony's dead right. I mean, wouldn't that be cool?
That like would be cool.
I think it goes both ways, right? Because then the membership treats somebody extremely well, but also like you want, that the staff member to be recognized too. And like, they are such an integral part of any experience that you go to any place. The staff are such an integral part of how you view that space and that club.
My pick would be probably if I had to vote for the Windsong members listening, Amy inside the clubhouse. I think
she's amazing.
Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
Could not agree more.
A lot of deserving people though, but she's really good.
And she works at, do you guys know what she does for her other job?
Yeah. What is it?
Does anybody know?
No.
She does. I think it's hospice work.
Okay.
Oh
yeah.
It's something
like that. I think she spends time with folks that are later in life. Yes.
Can you have a bigger heart than that?
No.
I was trying to say it's very fit. That seems
she
like
should be walking across the street. She can take my parking space.
Yeah. That's true.
Exactly.
Before we start crying.
Other clubs.
So let's go back to Hoopy. So Hoopy.
The Hoopy Match Club.
Hoopy Match Club. So the whole premise of the club itself, I think, is incredible, where nobody cares what you shot because it is ultimately just a match club. But the hang part, I think, is incredible. The logo is an onion that's in Vidalia, Georgia. Like
Johnny's fire, wearing it.
Oh, Johnny is wearing a Hoopy logo.
Yeah.
They have all these little vignettes of spots where you can sit and hang, like a fire pit here, outside the porch there, inside the bar, and the bar's ridiculous. But their food, so like their gig, I think I could talk about this. It's $1,000 a day. That's what it's going to cost you. drinks included, food's included, golf's included, everything's included, which is just a great way to do it. Because if you take guys on a trip, that's about what it comes to anyway.
Yeah.
Their chicken sandwich, the Drake and I had on day one, was absurd. The fire pit outside just down below and their lodging is ridiculous too. It's just good enough, but just a little bit better. So it's awesome. The main area downstairs, it's this, almost like it's a wine cellar where it's brick that's arched. Ruse has got a great picture of it, but the fire pits are really cool. The experience we had there in the bar, it was a bunch of Whisper Rock guys. And I think I talked about it. That's Colt Nost. And who's the other dude?
Yeah. Sleaze.
So he was in there just cracking people up because he's super funny, and it was getting late. And the bartender's like, okay guys, it's time for me to go. Don't take anything off that top shelf here. But you guys can have anything else you want. Good night. I'm like, what? Who leaves a bar open for people that are guests?
Yeah.
Just to go and hang.
Well, that's it doesn't cool. matter. Cause you charge them $1,000 a day.
That trust level. Yeah. I mean, I think is fantastic. So yeah. Hoopy is, it's pretty damn special.
So the match club is like, some holes are like, they're a little bit too long for a par three, but there it would be extremely short par four, right? So it's like a par 3.5.
260.
And you pick the tee, yeah. right, Tony?
Yeah.
You pick the tee after you win the hole. So the scorecard says 3.5, 4.5. I don't think it says 5.5, but I guess it could be. So if you win the hole, you make the next hole what you want it to be. Like mm-hmm. like I like to do. I like to go to the green tees on 18, for instance. So it might be for Tony, which is going to be the operative term for the new course at Windsong. There's going to be a bunch of drivables for Tony, but we call them three woodables because you don't need
three woodables.
You don't need a driver. So Tony's going to have a lot of three woodables. But if you go to like at Hoopy, you can make it be a three or maybe a long par three that's almost a four or a long par four that's almost a five. And I think that's super, super cool. So like, again, the spirit of what I'm kind of trying to allude to is places where it's either an individual or more importantly, a culture, because an individual can make a culture, but it's better when the culture supports it, where they're demonstrating, we clearly get it mm-hmm. in a super understated fashion.
Yeah.
And I think a Hoopy, the examples I just gave are good and, examples you know, of that.
It's one of those things, like it's the last 10% that just makes a place over the top, right? Like it's little tiny things. It's talk about your experience when you walked in and, you were in Ohio.
For Muirfield was like, I was super excited. And I'm not saying these names to like, I played this place. It's just a fact. I was lucky enough that a buddy invited me on a trip. Like I had no, like the gig of like having a milkshake, like that's like not a deal to me. So like, did you have a milkshake? I'm like, I don't really care. But then I had a milkshake shits. And like my buddy, Matty Erickson, I'm like, what'd you choose? He's like, I had a strawberry Oreo. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. And I had, I'm like, oh my God, these are incredible. Incredible. The breakfast bar had huevos rancheros and a huge skillet, with this chili thing with an egg on top. I'm like, what in the world are these? But what Tony's alluding to, the next day we went to the golf club. And I walked in, we were late for our round because the guys in front of us were just, it was a frost delay and we couldn't fly. And I was like, kind of on like that. So that again, great clubs don't rush you. And I walked in, I'm like, hey, could I give you my bag? He's like, oh, just take it in the locker room. I'm kind of for a second, like, oh, we're late. I'm so glad he suggested. So you walk down this long outdoor corridor and there's pillars. And the light is perfect. And the color for the trees are perfect. And the door opens up. And I think his name was Ron. Ron greets me in a red vest. He's like, hey, how are you? I'm like, you know, like when people are stressed, it doesn't really work. Like travel stress is horrible. Like being late for a tea time is horrible. I'm like, I'm great. He's like, oh, let me take that for you. Come on in. I'm like, okay. And he opens these double doors to this understated but perfect locker room. It's massive. Kind of like Calusa, which we have to get to because Calusa is one of my favorite. Calusa's open and you walk through and there's little cool nameplates on each of the lockers and it just wraps all the way around and tables in the middle and a cool couch. He takes back, this is your locker. And it's somebody else's locker, which I always think is cool when people do that. And he's like, hey, can I get you a drink or something? And I'm like, do we have time? And he's like, yeah. In fact, we were the only people on the course that day. We went off pretty late, but the only people at 2:30 that we were going off. And their special drink is a KFC and I don't even know what it was, but it's bourbon something. And they have the logo is this, like this, it's not a deer. So people are going to like a stag. You guys are the hunters, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Elk or something.
I mean, I've got a ram, so
it's like a deer with Truck horns. Guys. This is where I'm getting flamed by the listeners, but like the tempo, they really got it. And I think that's another good sign of places like in the case of like we talked about with Blue Jack, sit down and have some barbecue and just chill out mm-hmm. at Butler. Go have a taco and chill out. In this case, like you'll get around, just don't worry about it. Which I think if more clubs could take advantage of that, where it's not like, because you want to go to a nice place and be, have it be disarming and not be like rush. Cause that takes away from everything. Like
yeah.
tension kills speed. So why have people be tense?
Right.
And we just hung out and they give you beef jerky and a cookie and where am I? That's a really, really, really cool. I didn't get a chance because we got in there so late. I didn't get a chance to hang as long as I want to, but I'm going back and I cannot wait to go back. But that's a super example. Again, they just get it. 150 members, 700 acre property, 18 holes, 700 acres.
Wow.
And just go have fun.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And I don't even think like it has to be a private club. I mean, there's plenty.
No.
Of, like, if anybody's, if you guys ever been to Pinehurst?
Nope.
Pinehurst is pretty spectacular. I mean, that unbelievable history there. Right. But Pinehurst is located in what's called the Village of Pinehurst, which is a small, like a little town. It's really cool. The village, you can go out and have, walk and go to like have dinner in the village. And, you know, and one of my favorite hangs there is having lunch off of the 18th green at Pinehurst number 2 in the, you know, it's a white sort of clubhouse again, the kind of turn of the century, Donald Ross, you know, like white tables and you can get a club sandwich and an Arnold Palmer or whatever, you know, whatever you want, a pimento cheese sandwich. And that's a really cool one too. Tobacco Road down there. If anybody's ever been to Tobacco Road, it's a really unique place. There's a, it's a log cabin is like the pro shop. And it's in this forest of trees, like these massive trees, you know, and you can't drive back there. Like you got to walk back through the trees to the clubhouse. And it's like Red Dead Redemption or something, you know, it's like a building in Red Dead Redemption, you know, with Arthur that you ride your horse back to. And it's very unique and they give you like a thing of balls, like in a pouch and you go to the range and you hit, you know, you get like 8 balls or whatever, you know, but that place is crazy and cool and just unique and different, you know? And I mean, I think like, those are public golf courses. Anybody can go play those, you know?
Bandon's got to fall in the same category.
And there's right? like it's 100 Bandon. Different hangs at Bandon. And we did a whole episode like ranking the Bandon hangs, but man, there's some like really, really, really good ones there. I mean, even around here, like there's some unique places that you can go and, you know, I'm thinking about like Loggers Trail. Have you guys been to Loggers Trail? Like you hit range Love balls loggers. Into the water. Like that's really weird.
On purpose?
Yeah. Like there's like
a floating balls.
Yeah. It's like floating balls. But I mean, yeah, there's a million. What else is on your list, Jamie? Like what do you got?
I want to talk about people that I think make places special.
Okay, so like staff or
specific people?
Yeah, like I can't wait to see what Interlaken's going to look like after the renovation's up.
Mm-hmm.
$38 million or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Ryan Sullivan in the men's grill, the fact that he hasn't been stolen and taken somewhere else, like a guy that can handle every ego and attitude, and not like there's a ton of ego and attitude down there, but he remembers drinks, he remembers people's names, his tempo and his timing is perfect. Steiner's down there. He's making Steiners. I have another Steiner and he's working the room. I think Ryan Sullivan at Interlaken does an incredible job. Mm. I think that Eric Eshelman at the Country Club of Birmingham, shout out to Ryan's dad, is the way he runs and treats his staff again to like how everyone should be treated with respect. And then the members, it's not a tight ship because it doesn't need to be a tight ship because everyone's already a gentleman when you show up. He does an incredible job at Country Club of Birmingham. How about Rafi in the locker room at Butler?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times do you have a drink that has a hat that has a drink on it that has the person who made it on the back and happens to be Raphael? There's been clubs that have tried to hire him just for the level and reputation of his Paloma, Rafi. Amazing. I think that Spring Hill has some cool nuances, but the locker room attendant at Spring Hill is the man. He used to be at Minneapolis. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You meet him there. He's amazing. I've known him for 15 years. He'll meet you in the parking lot. He'll come outside and he won't drink with you, but he'll come out and sit down with you. There's not enough of that around. Mm-hmm. I wish that there was more unique individuals that strive just to make people's experience special.
It's a unique personality that people have that, you know, it's hard to even describe it to somebody because it sounds strange, but you know it when you see it, right? Like when somebody makes you feel that, it is like, this is unbelievable. Like, this is such a cool experience, and it's hard to even describe how to recreate it without having those amazing staff.
You think there'd
members.
Be more, but there's not a ton of them. I mean, you just don't run into it very often. Like, I think Jimmy Howard did a great job when he was at Old Memorial, and the Old Memorial, you know, going back and talking about experiences in locker rooms, Old Memorial's locker room is unbelievable. And I think locker rooms kind of make up, whether it's a team you play for or a club you belong to, locker rooms can be the key. I mean, I wish we had a locker rooms per se that you could hang out in at Windsong, because you don't see that very often. But the Old Memorial one was done really well. And then Jimmy Howard went on to, after Old Memorial, he ended up, now he's at Pikewood, and Pikewood's hang. You walk off the 18th green of Pikewood, and there's an elevated veranda where there's a chef out there and a bar out there, and the owner's out there when we were there, and some members are out there, and they're wearing their sport coats, which I think sport coats are really cool, and clubs have them as part
like
of
staff
culture.
Members.
I think it's no, the members,
oh, the members, yeah,
the members have them. But Pikewood's another great place where you look down onto 18, and it just, again, a place you can hang and look and watch other people play golf is like, first tee at Marion.
Mm-hmm.
You eat lunch again on the veranda, and we're hitting golf balls off the first tee, Tony, like just probably a little bit further than you are, but you're right there on the first tee. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. Some people have the gift of a lot of it. Some people have the gift of like memory. Like they just can remember things, remember names, mm-hmm. remember faces.
Like Dan at Spring Hill. I mean, like, yeah. He remembers everything.
Remembers yeah. everything. Actually, it's a crazy story about my uncle. My uncle used to, you know, he's a man of routine, and like he's at the club every day. Like that's where he has lunch every day, breakfast every day. Right. And lives right down the street. So he was hitting putts on the putting green. I'm probably not going to get this story perfect, but this is generally the story. He's hitting putts on the putting green, and the putting green is like, there's a roundabout that you pull up and you walk out and you're on the putting green, and then you're on the first tee, and there's a golf shop to the left, and then the main clubhouse to the right. And he's hitting putts on the putting green, and the presidential motorcade pulls up. This is in like 96 maybe or 95. And Bill Clinton gets out, right? And Secret Service is everywhere. And, you know, the presidents play, they kind of do the round in the DC area, the courses, and Washington Golf gets a lot of presidential play. So Clinton walks up to my uncle and introduces himself, you know, like the president, right? There's Secret Service everywhere, right? Hi, I'm Bill Clinton. And my uncle's like, how you doing? You know, Billy Thomas. And Clinton, you know, starts asking my uncle questions, you know, so what do you, you know, tell me about yourself. And my uncle says, you know, I have a title company, and then my wife Veronique and daughter Amandine are inside having lunch, and I'm hitting a few putts. Okay, whatever, right? So Clinton goes and he plays his round of golf. Like 2 years later, the presidential motorcade pulls up. My uncle's on the putting green. Bill Clinton gets out and walks up and says, "Hey, Billy, how are Veronique and Amandine?"
No way.
Yes. Yes.
Those are names that are like very, very unique.
Yeah. So like, there are people that just have that freakish memory or ability to like connect faces to names and like know exactly, you know, what's going on. And, I apologize if I butchered that story in any way, but that's the general story.
The spirit of the story is great, especially if any of it's true.
Yeah. So, you know, it's true.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I don't know. I think, golf is really cool, and we talk a lot about golf on the podcast, but golf is really like, and this is something I've been thinking about a lot too lately, because I'm trying to just get over like the obsessiveness around like the competitive side of golf and pull back and sort of appreciate and have gratitude for like all the things that golf does for you and have that really be like my modus operandi moving forward, especially heading into next year, like less like care about my swing and more care about like all the things that are going on and
spending
like
time with your buddies.
Yeah. And like, man, that's why we're doing the podcast. Like that's why, and there's so many unique, unique things in the world of golf that are like awesome and fun and rewarding. And there's, and like, I know I don't want to sound like we are like a pretentious group of country club guys talking about these prestigious experiences. Like it's not that at all.
No chance. Examples of the ones I gave, I didn't like my trip to Columbus. I didn't pick up a bill for 2 days.
No,
I don't even know where the fuck Medina is.
Yeah.
It's not, I happen it's to be a that. Guest. It's just, right. I think the theory of transitivity applies in golf where right. what is yours is mine. And I love that.
That's true. And like, many other things where I think because golf happens at a physical location and all those physical locations are different, whether it's a public course or a private course or whatever it is, right? Mm. The playing field is never the same. The clubhouse is never the same. The people are never the same. Every time you go, it's like you're in a different world. You're going to a different experience, and there's no better way to get lost from like the world that we're in every day than to do that, you know? And that's what's so like beautiful about it is like, you know, when I go to Butler with you, Jamie, like, it's like, I'm not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about like, you know, my troubles or my pains or my challenges or the things that are like difficult or whatever. Like I'm having the time of my life and I'm lost in the moment. And that's what like these things do for you is they bring you, they like powerful experiences that will resonate with you are experiences that pull you into the moment. And that's what St. Andrews did for me. That's what going to Butler does for me. That's what happens every time I'm at Windsong. Like every time, you know, the Friday game after when the rocking chairs are out, that's what the best hang in the world to me. Yeah. Like there's no better hang.
Think about like, for all the sports, we're all athletes. We all played. It's the times on the bus. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, during the game stuff is fine, whatever. It's the times in the locker room. I mean, I think that's probably the spirit of what we're talking about. And I think I read something last week of where a gentleman was saying that he's attempting to be more present in situations. And I think we get so wrapped into our own deal. Go back to the hoopy thing. Nobody cares what you shot. I mean, mm-hmm. I care for a moment. I want to be competitive, but I'm there to connect with other people. And if you can't pick that up on a golf course, man, you've lost the opportunity. Because it's a rare opportunity to sit for 4 hours with some dude that you probably is special. And the guys that are really special often don't talk about themselves. So to be able to figure out this person, like I walked into the locker room, our host at the golf club, this is crazy that this happened. He's sitting down. I walk in. He's like, hip? I'm like, yeah. He goes, getting it done? I'm like, yeah. He goes, posterior or anterior? I'm like, posterior. He goes, you want my opinion? I'm like, sure. He's going, anterior for sure. I'm like, he goes, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. My host was. He goes, my colleague may be the best in the nation doing hips. Do you want to make a phone call? I hadn't even played with him yet. I had a consult with him last week. I scheduled my appointment. I'm now flying to Columbus to get my hip done.
Wow, that's sick. Crazy.
Insane. That's cool. And by the way, this doctor who I just had met and played, let's see, 15 holes with, he's like, Brad Brodigan, shout out. Why don't you stay at my house for a couple of days after you're done?
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Incredible.
You just met this guy and he invited you to stay at his home.
Ridiculous. That's what golf does.
And fix your hip.
Yeah. Crazy.
And refer you to somebody who's the best in the country at something and who, you know, you might not be able to have access to.
And then it turns out we have another buddy who needs to get his shoulder done. So I sent him a text this morning saying, hey, Brad, another friend of mine, Brad, I won't say his last name, but we all know him. He just moved back from London, lives in New York. He's a hell of a player at Windsong. He's like, yeah, my shoulder's really bothering me. I'm like, oh, I've got a guy. He'll probably know. So I called, sent Brad Brodigan a text this morning. I'm like, hey, my buddy that's in New York needs to get his shoulder done. Who would you recommend? He goes, that would be me. Introduced Brad to Brad. And now they're talking about fixing Brad's shoulder.
That would be me.
I mean, the point of the story is there's so many special people that like, if you take someone for face value or you judge a book by their cover, you're an idiot.
All right. So go, let's wrap this up with this. So we're the five of us, and Johnny, you're in on this too, are building a golf club from scratch. And each of us gets to bring forth one tradition of the golf course. Okay. And we might need to set the stage a little bit more detailed, because some of those traditions we'll probably want to map to like local areas or whatever. So we'll say it's a Minnesota club, you know, an hour outside of the city's small membership. And it's sort of a abandoned trails esque aesthetic of the,
And you want each of us to pick one
feature? I'm thinking everybody picks like a feature or something they implement.
Can I go first?
Yes.
I want to have a locker room that is large enough where you can host a group of 8 to 12 guys. So if you have a couple of groups of buddies that are coming, to have a private locker room attendant who is also, say, short order cook, maybe cooks burgers and that kind of thing, and can mix you a cocktail, et cetera. And that person just owns that space. They know everybody who comes in and can make it the most special day that you can possibly have.
Love that.
In the locker room, we're going to have, you know, a couple couches, you know, TV, card table, and the ability to host and have 12 guys in a room at one time.
I'm going to stick in this. I'm suggesting what I suggested earlier, take an idea and make your own of it. The outdoor wraparound porch, emulate Blue Jack, emulate Sand Hills. And I'm probably projecting, cause I really want this so badly, for across the street at Windsong, of where there's a place you can go that you want to go and hang out. Maybe you're going to play golf that day. Maybe you're not. Maybe we cook burgers, which I think would be a killer idea. Somewhere, for me, it's the hang. Cause I don't remember most of the golf holes, and I'll probably have dementia someday, so I'll remember none of the golf holes. But the idea that there's a place that you can go, and maybe I want to hit balls. Maybe I don't want to hit balls. Maybe I just want to see the dudes. That's a big deal to me. So I'd probably say wraparound porch where you can watch other stuff going on, especially if it's elevated. It'd be an elevated point where you can see shots into X or tee shots from Y or something into 12 or whatever, and then just sit there and hang out. That's the thing for me.
I think there's so many things like that surround, especially a place like what we're talking about here, this fictitious place, but like a place where you may show up there and have zero intent to play golf that day. Maybe you're just going there to maybe, you know, have lunch, and then you end up like seeing three, four of your buddies, and you're, you know, just hanging out. And then maybe you do go play nine holes, and you had zero intent of playing golf that day, but because it's such an amazing place, you just want to spend your time there.
That's ideal for me. A club that allows that to happen is ideal for me.
All right. So Saturday morning, family style breakfast. In Harris Tweed blazers. Harris Tweed blazers.
Dude, you would look good in Harris Tweed
blazers. Followed by
elbow patches?
Yes. Okay. Followed by an alternate shot game.
Oh, I wish people did alternate shots.
Yeah. So it's about a 3-hour deal, like breakfast and then alt shot. Show up at breakfast is on the table at 7:30. You're out of there by 11:30, home by lunch.
And this is on what days?
Every Saturday.
Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So if you want to play,
I was thinking Sunday.
If you want to play like a regular game, then you play in the afternoon on Saturday.
I wish people do all shot. I think it's so cool.
Well, we're going to get it going at Windsong.
I hope we do. Course.
Hi, YouTube. I'm back again. So I think one tradition that would be really cool, and I think it would vary based on if it was a public course or a private course, but we've briefly touched on this before in the concept of this. But if it was a private club, say you're playing there with high frequency, I'd say like once a month, you have to play with a group of people you don't know. Mm. And depending on the size of the club, you might eventually know everyone. Maybe you don't know them as well. But I love that idea of playing with people that you haven't spent a long period of time with, just because I think it's easy for us to get pigeonholed into, and for good reason, you like spending time with certain people, but to play constantly with people that you know and you always play with. But I love the idea of, like Andy mentioned, like we've all mentioned, you know, not only being in the moment and spending time with people, but getting to know new people, sharing stories, sharing games and traditions. I think that would be kind of a fun idea. So that's something we could all probably do a better job of, but I mean, how awesome is it when you play with someone new and you pick up on all their one-liners and their stories, and then you share those with your 100% buddies?
100%. As long as they're cool.
I think that'd be fun. Yeah. And that's something you can figure out really quickly. Yeah. But yeah, I think that'd be kind of fun.
You have to play minimum one hole, though, not a round.
Get out of here. So you could leave after one.
You have to play one hole. Also, no plastic tees. That'd be cool, too. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that, Johnny.
I like the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crying, dude?
Huh?
Are you crying?
Yeah, he's crying.
He's emotional.
What's wrong?
Why are you crying? Does this mean this? This means a lot to you? Get this off your chest. Go.
You're all right, man.
Well, I did yawn, but.
Okay.
Yeah. At our club,
men can cry.
No Jordan apparel.
No. I think I love our Friday game, and I know it's only, it's five groups, so like max 25 people, but I love the idea of writing down the winner, whether it's a single person or group, mm-hmm. every single Friday. And putting that in history, because it is like when I first joined, like the Friday game was like, I had heard about it, but like I wasn't in, like I didn't know all the intricacies of like Friday game and stuff.
Yeah.
And now that I'm in, like you keep playing to like be in, like you want to be a part of the tradition, right. You want to be in. And then like when guests come, you know, they can sneak into the Friday game. It's kind of like a big deal. Or like I've played with people in their first Friday game, like, It's cool.
It's cool.
And so to have that either winning team or person or whatever it might be up on like a board or the board in the locker room is
the Friday game is the best.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
I like those games that clubs have that you hear about, right? Like, and you know about, and like ours is a standing Friday game. I just think it's awesome.
I have another one, but I'm gonna let you go first.
Well, there's one thing that I just thought of, and we did it during the rodeo, which is a tournament of old guys versus young guys at the Win Song. Some aspect of live music, I think, would be really cool. So when that gentleman came out and played, it was just live music changes everything, and have that built into our club, the fictitious club, which we can do anyway, because we can have a guy come out and play every once in a while.
That should be our life goal. We build a club.
I just hope we can build one. So,
I got two more. Open the course with a gunshot, like a shotgun going off.
But not shooting someone.
No. Just like a shotgun, a literal shotgun.
Pa-pow.
And then when like lunch is served, like a bell.
Like the triangle thing. Ding, 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 ding,
yeah.
Ding,
yeah.
Ding,
like ding, that'd be ding, cool.
At a club that I worked at one time when we would literally shoot a cannon.
That's cool.
Okay. Don't get me going on cannons. Cause you know how much I love.
I was going to say cannons.
Guys, what about sacrifice a live animal?
And fade to black.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to this.
No, Tony, you had one.
Yeah. So unbelievable.
What kind of animal?
Like, I don't know, like a sheep or something.
You got to catch it first.
You got to. That's a good idea.
An animal that you catch. Like you let
it out on the course. Whoever gets it gets the first tee time, but they have to sacrifice it.
I'm done.
Yeah, it should be a pig roast. It should be a hog that you have to catch.
I've got some good hog stories.
What about horses instead of carts?
Killing the horses?
No.
You can't kill a cart.
No. Like instead of riding around a cart.
He's
like
not saying you kill a horse. He's saying horseback. We don't have electric carts. You have to take a horse.
Where is the place? There's a place in Oregon there instead of, they have like caddies that are goats.
That's cool. I'm into that. But I'm into the animal stuff.
But they don't kill the goats.
No, we're not killing anything.
Are you saying this because you know that I broke my arm when I was 9 on a horse named Princess? Is that what you're bringing us up? Is it like sensitivity now?
No, I didn't know that, but I'm glad.
This is the show after the show.
I'm glad I have that now.
All right. Tony, class this place up.
What I was going to go with after we got down this animal talk, I don't know, was... It stems from the vein of treating people the way you want to be treated and treating people with respect and treating the golf course with respect, is public shaming. So if somebody does break the rules or they act like a jerk or like whatever, maybe
stoned?
No, there's literally a board and we put their name on the board saying Tony Hermes treated so-and-so with disrespect.
Wow. That's pretty intense, dude. That's some medieval shit tones. Like what's going on in your psyche? You all right?
Somebody mistreat you, Tony, and we need to talk about it.
Who did this to you?
This is a thing.
It is a thing. I know clubs that do that if you don't pay your dues.
This is
your name down if you don't pay your dues.
If you're late on your dues, your name at Washington Golf goes up on a board.
Oh, my God.
I'm talking about at Whisper Rock, they have the penalty box.
Oh, wow.
There's a blackboard on the wall that if you like, if it's your first strike,
it doesn't say what you did, it just said you did something.
If your name is up there, it's like your name on the chalkboard and when you're in elementary school.
Wow.
Like you have done something that is not okay.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That would never happen to any of us.
It would for sure happen to me.
Yeah, I think
SG, something with an
initials. I would have got a double minor this year. I would have gotten a double minor for sure.
You would have had two check marks behind your name.
I drew blood on the high stick. Wasn't a 5-minute major, but like double minor.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, that's a deep one.
That is a deep one, man.
I like that one, though. What we could do is a wind song where they do the high and low temp of the day.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
I'm just saying, like,
James Rue.
Nobody wants their name up there.
James Rue.
How do you get your name off of there?
Next person does something bad.
Sacrifice an animal.
No, until somebody else does something bad.
I want to add one more that I thought was awesome. And this is like a real thing, so I know it would be legitimate. But like you mentioned, Andy, in some of your stories, is having members have to caddy sometimes.
That's a good one.
Particularly, we all love to caddy, though. So.
But for particularly for guests.
For guests.
Because, I mean, you just share
which
the
essence. Which is what happens. Open the club one day a week for guest play.
I think this could totally be something that, like what Jordan was saying, like one time a year you have to do this.
Yeah. I would love.
And members have to caddy.
You either have to cook a burger, you either have to be on burger duty for either the day or half day. Maybe it could be half day since we have enough members to fill it up. Or you have to caddy for a guest for a round and it's complimentary.
I think it's a killer idea.
We should propose
that. I love
that
idea, Johnny.
Can we propose that? We shouldn't, we shouldn't be scared to start new traditions.
With the new course, I'm sure there'll be room to implement or bring some ideas.
But obviously, not very many people would probably be excited about it, but I think everybody would actually end up enjoying it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like you might hate it right away, but you do it.
If every private club in America was open one day a week to the public, could you imagine how cool that would be? Could you imagine if I could get on a list in 18 months to play Cypress? Or Pine Valley, and I was going to go out there and one of the members was going to be on my bag. That would revolutionize golf.
Which, Tony, that's every course in Ireland and every course in Scotland.
That's how they do it over there, and that's how we should do it here.
I love that.
And sacrifice
animals.
What
a great idea. That was fun, you guys. This is a good episode. Yeah. I like that.
It was. Yeah. Member guest podcast listeners, let us know if you have any ideas or traditions or things you'd want to implement. And Jamie, thanks for coming on tonight as always.
You're thank man, you, Jamie.
Any other closing thoughts,
Johnny.
Guys?
Love you all.
Love you.
All right. Godspeed.
No. Bye.
Peace.
See ya.